Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michelle Price from A Third Mind Digital Media, and you're listening to The Business of Online Thought Leadership, where our mantra is connectivity is the new currency. Connecting with others through the World Wide Web is something that I believe I was destined to do, but more importantly, what you were destined to do, beyond creating a brand, beyond creating a message, creating a conversation, and not just any conversation, but one that positions you as a thought leader. So here we are now, where women and other leading-edge thinkers come to experience those who are building conversation platforms, using blogs, social networks, online communities, online video, and discover how they can do the same thing. Today, I'm honored to have as my guest Bob Risk. Yes, his last name is Risk. Bob is the Senior Strategic Safety, Health, and Wellness Manager for Staples. His experience includes working with some of the largest corporations in the world to help them with emergency response efforts and environmental cleanups of some of the worst disasters in the last decade, including Hurricane Katrina and the Gulf Coast oil spill. Bob says people would be surprised to find out how many stores and even restaurants lack the most basic supplies for first aid. And he's going to share with us five overlooked products that should be included as part of an emergency preparedness kit. Bob, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you could make it. I mean, you're a busy guy, clearly, and I understand you're going to be at a conference here in San Diego next week, so I know you're probably getting ready for that.
I'm looking forward to coming to San Diego.
We're having record-breaking heat, so, you know, hopefully you're not coming over the weekend because it's supposed to be the – yeah, we're having record-breaking heat. 104 degrees tomorrow is what they're telling us. Yeah, I know.
It's a beautiful 78 here in the Philadelphia area. So,
oh, really? You know, we haven't seen 78 in probably in a month.
Well, then maybe we've just switched weather. So, okay.
Yeah, can you blow some of that our way? Can you bring it with you? So, you know, first tell us a little bit about what you do as the Senior Strategic Safety, Health, and Wellness Manager for Staples.
Well, actually, that's one title. I'm also the National Sales Manager for the Safety Division at Staples. And one of the things that people don't realize about Staples is that any product you would need for your business, you can get from Staples. And Staples has a whole division that sells safety, first aid, and emergency preparedness products to both businesses and to the consumer, the everyday consumer. So I run a team of safety specialists around the country that work with our existing sales force to support them in with their customers in these areas.
Okay. So I spent 18 years in a academic medical teaching hospital that is like among the top 15 in the world. And we regularly did these disaster preparedness things because we were a hospital and an outpatient clinic. But I worked also in a small business after I left that job. I worked for a small business. And I know that this is something that they probably have no clue about. So how would a small business go about creating their first disaster preparedness program? If you could give us just a quick, like, maybe step-by-step breakdown, maybe the first things that they need to do.
Well, you know what? The interesting thing about that question is that that's going to differ for every business type there is and every location of a business. The first thing that anybody should do to establish their emergency preparedness kit or go bag or whatever they want to call it is they should put themselves, use their imagination, and sit down and decide what it is that they want to accomplish with this kit. Do they want to just have products that get them out of the building? Do they want to have products that will sustain them after they get out of the building? Are they interested in shelter in place? So every business is, because of their the floor, the height of the floor, the height of the building that they're in, whether they're in a dry area next to a river. Everybody is going to have a little bit different view of what they need to do, and that should be always be step one, is to understand what it is you need to accomplish and then work backwards and say, okay, what will I need to accomplish those goals? And not only what do I need as far as products, how much of each of those products do I need? Am I dealing with two people or am I dealing with 200 people? And, of course, The one thing to remember, and I've said this time after time, it is far easier to prepare for an emergency than it is to have to explain why you didn't.
Oh, say that again.
Okay.
That is so
hard.
Say that again.
It's far easier to prepare for an emergency than it is to have to explain why you didn't.
Okay.
I always use the analogy. It's like when I was younger. I was tasked with cutting the grass. And my job each week was to cut the grass by Friday afternoon. When my dad got home, he wanted the grass cut. Okay? So we didn't have to worry about it over the weekend. Now, I had, you know, basically 7 days to cut the grass. Let's just use that as an example.
Okay,
so
yeah, 7 days.
More than enough time. You have more than enough time to accomplish that. But sure enough, how many times did it get to be 6:30? My dad pulled in the driveway, and I went, oh my goodness. It has been so much easier to just make sure it was done than it is to have to come up with a reason why it didn't. And it's the same thing with emergency preparedness. We have all the time in the world, but the minute that emergency hits, it's too late.
I agree with that. So where does the responsibility for this live in a business? Does it live? So clearly it lives with, if it's a smaller business, and San Diego, believe it or not, is probably 90% small business. And so where does it live with the owner of the business? And after that, where should it live? Is there a little department? Does it live with human resources? Where does it reside?
Again, everyone's different. The bottom line responsibility of a business goes to the owner or the or the head of the executive team. And then how they break those responsibilities out is going to be different. Some cases it's security. Some cases it's human resources. Some cases it's even in a bigger facility that deals with, like, campuses, it would be in real estate. Some people it's maintenance. Every company has somebody different. Sometimes it's the receptionist. The bottom line is, whoever is given that responsibility, you have to make sure that they're living up to that responsibility. And then that goes right back to the owner or to the head of the executive branch.
Okay, so how would you check? How would you do the check-ins? How would you know that they're living up to that, or that they're capable of that? What would be one way that an owner or somebody could check to make sure? And how often should you check?
Well, there's two ways to do that. First of all, there's three parts to setting up an emergency program. There's the initial plan development. Then there's the process of getting the products that are needed to support your plan into the company's possession or into the family's possession on site. And then finally, there's the practicing. So there's the planning, the procurement, and the practicing. Three P's for putting together this whole plan, which I guess is a fourth P if you wanted to. But the person who's ultimately responsible for this should be involved in the initial planning, or should be at least reported back to about what was determined to be needed. And then, of course, they're going to know that the product has been purchased, or they should find out that the product's been purchased and is on site in the corporate possession. And then finally, they should know that the plan has been practiced. Now, in any company under 10 people, plan does not have to be written and passed out. Any company over 10 people, not only does the plan have to be written, but it has to be disseminated to all the people. So there's a number of different ways to determine that. And, you know, it's different for different size companies. But if you don't communicate what your plan is and get the people to actually practice it, then you really haven't accomplished anything. Because you've got a plan, it's up on the shelf, there it is. And that's why in the Staples survey that you and I spoke about earlier, so many people don't feel that their companies are ready for this. Well, they may be ready. They may be ready in writing, but they're not ready in reality.
Right. Yeah, so say the earthquake hits. Now, nobody, who's running to the, you know, shelf to grab the manual to figure out what to do, right? So,
yes.
So you know, you,
sorry,
yeah, it's a little too late. Yeah, a little too late. How often would you say they should practice, they should do it? I know we used to do huge ones maybe twice a year, and then every month they were pulling that fire alarm drill, you know, so that we could get all the patients out of the clinics and all the rest of that stuff. So how often would you say a small business should practice?
I think twice a year is a good number.
Again,
there's a lot of these things that you're told to practice, but you're not told how many times you need to practice. I think twice a year is a good number. If you find that your first one and your second one didn't go well, then obviously mm-hmm. perhaps you need a third and fourth. It's not how often you do it. It's how well the people understand it and are able to perform what they need to do.
I agree. That is so true.
If you've got people in the business that have some special needs, then probably more. And those things,
mm-hmm.
I tell you what, it's so often overlooked. You know, we've got somebody in a wheelchair that works for us. They do a wonderful job. That's great. Okay, we're on the fifth floor. Who's going to get that wheelchair?
Who's going to help them?
Five flights of stairs when the elevator's done.
Mm.
I'm sorry, not done, turned off. But there is equipment that's specifically made for those types of evacuations.
Really?
Those types of things. Oh, yeah. There's special chairs and special gurneys that are used to evacuate patients that have limited mobility, and it
mm-hmm.
makes it very, very simple to do.
And you sell those at Staples?
We have everything that you would need along those lines, yeah.
Wow. Who knew? Who knew? So what are the biggest mistakes you see businesses making? I mean, really, who knew? I think that's why I wanted to do this interview, because I thought, you know what? When I see Staples, what I think about is supplies, paper, you know, things like that. And so, and sometimes office furniture. But that's really and sometimes maybe ink supplies for my printer. But, you know, that's why it's important to me to let people know that this is a place that you can get everything you need for that. That's a great thing. So what's the biggest mistake you see businesses making with regards to this?
There's actually two websites you can go on, and there's literally tens and hundreds of thousands of products that are shown. And you can look through and get all these different products.
Okay.
And I'm more than happy to share that if you don't want later. But,
yeah.
Well,
let's share it now. Share it right now. Where can they go to find all the stuff?
Staples.com. Very simply, Staples.com is for any consumer. Anyone can go on Staples.com and pick from almost a million items listed online. And then if anybody already has an existing relationship or contract with Staples, you can go on StaplesAdvantage.com and also find pretty close to a million different products, you know, ranging from complete standard emergency kits to all kinds of individual products. If you needed a stethoscope, we can get you a stethoscope. But we also, as you pointed out, we also have paper and toner and pens too. But it's interesting. Staples is the largest janitorial supplier in the country, and you'd probably say, "Who knew to that?" as well. So
I would say, "Who knew to that?"
You can get pretty much anything you want from Staples. As far as the mistakes, I think the biggest mistake is procrastination. That's the biggest mistake. It's always something that we can get to tomorrow. It's always something we can get to next week. I know it's something we can all relate to, because I'm sure we all do it in our private lives as well. I really need to get that oil changed. Engine seized up. I mean, you know,
that actually happened to somebody I know.
Yeah.
So you know what? You know, in that regard, you've been privy to like some of the largest disasters the world's ever seen, pretty much with the Gulf Coast oil spill and with Hurricane Katrina. What in some of your experience, what could have, you know, did businesses do a good? I mean, is there anything a business could have done with that? that you came in and found out? Did you work with them before, or they just brought you in afterwards?
There's always far more activity after the fact than
afterwards.
There is
sure.
before the fact. I will tell you, and we just had the anniversary yesterday of 9/11, but the companies in Greater New York and the Northeast that were affected personally by that have led the way in the last decade in preparedness.
Oh, really?
It's unfortunate that anyone that went through that is obviously far more aware of all the things that could go wrong. And I think the biggest thing, the biggest mistake that people make other than procrastination is once they get around to it, really using their imagination to unfortunately think of all the things that could go wrong,
mm-hmm.
whether it be a man-made event, whether it be a natural
like a bomb, or you know, they don't think enough of all the different things that could happen.
Could be a bomb. It could be an earthquake. You know, the good thing about that is what you need to do to respond to those situations are very often pretty much the same. The products mm-hmm. are pretty much the same. You know, you're going to need things like crank powered cell phone chargers. Cell phones are the number one means of communication, and if the cell phone towers are backed up or too much volume going through, you can still text or email oftentimes. But as we all sit here, how much charge is in your phone right now? If you had to run out the door right now,
mm-hmm.
and you couldn't plug into your car or anything, how much charge do you have? And by the time you finish calling, you know, emergency officials, or you're calling your family or whatever you're doing, that's going to use that charge up pretty quickly. Well, what are you going to do then? When Superstorm Sandy hit the East Coast, that was one of the biggest images that stayed with people, was people who had power were dropping extension cords out their apartment windows with power strips so other people could come up and recharge their phone for a few minutes.
Wow, really?
So we have crank-powered cell phone chargers that you can plug into any type of phone, any smartphone. They come with various adapters to fit all types of phones. And you crank 3 minutes, it recharges your phone for about a half an hour. And you can go.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going there as soon as we hang up this phone. I'm going to go get one of those. Seriously, I didn't even know that those existed.
But you have the same thing with crank-powered flashlights, crank-powered emergency radios,
mm-hmm.
all different things where you don't need to rely on batteries. Battery-powered flashlights are great, but as we all know, batteries run out. If you're in the dark with no power, you turn your flashlight on, chances are you're not turning it off for 30 seconds or a minute. Chances are you're turning it on and you want to leave it on.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
nobody's carrying around a bag full of batteries. With a crank-powered unit, it starts to get dim. You simply crank it up, crank it for a couple minutes, and you get another half an hour or whatever each individual item gives you as far as power. But it doesn't stop. You just crank.
Well, you know what? I can personally testify that we have a crank-powered radio, and when we had that huge power outage, I don't know if you remember that, we had a huge power outage here on the West Coast a couple of years ago where somebody supposedly turned the wrong switch and it cut off all the power to the whole region for like hours and hours. And we had a radio that we would literally, we sat there and we cranked it and we listened to the radio. And so I'm telling anybody who listens, you know, these are great suggestions. So why don't you tell us, what are the five overlooked products that should be included as part of an emergency preparedness kit?
The next one, you know, you need a cell phone charger. You need some sort of, and I'll just say, renewable light source, a long-term light source. Usually mm-hmm. that's a combination of something like a flashlight and also light sticks. So you can turn the flashlight on and leave the light stick, right? They go for 8 to 12 hours at a time. Water.
Mm-hmm.
Is often overlooked.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, you know, everybody needs water. Everybody needs water in a number of different ways. You need it to drink. You need it to wash something off. You need it to wash something out. We have drinking water available with a 5-year shelf life. Unlike plastic bottled water, which only has 6 months to a year life, there's waters that Staples carries that is Coast Guard approved for 5 years.
Wow.
Packed in a certain way so ultraviolet light can't get to it. And when you build a kit, you want to build a kit and basically, hopefully, forget about it. So this is water that you wouldn't only have to, you'd only have to worry about replacing, you know, every 5 years or so. The other thing in an office situation that is overlooked far too many times, and unfortunately it comes into need many times during an emergency, is an AED or a defibrillator.
Oh.
I would say less than 10% of businesses across the country currently have AEDs or, very importantly, enough AEDs.
Okay, explain what an AED is for those that might not understand the short version of that.
An AED is short defibrillator. Defibrillator is like what you would see in the TV show where they say clear and they're shocking the heart back into rhythm.
Putting those two things on their chest and then they're saying clear and then they shock the person, right?
Right. Automatic electric discharge unit.
Okay.
And when somebody has a sudden cardiac arrest and their heart stops, for every minute that goes by that they are not treated properly with a defibrillator, their chances for survival drop 7 to 10%.
For every minute?
For every minute that goes by. So in a best-case scenario where somebody says, oh, I have wonderful EMS services, my town or my city or my, you know, it's just terrific, quickly could you be there? Oh, I bet they'd be there in 5 minutes. Okay? So they're at your facility in 5 minutes. It takes them another 2 minutes to get to the victim.
That's 7 minutes.
That's gone. That's 7 minutes. Your percentages aren't real great right now.
Yeah, like so you're at 50% right about now.
You need to have defibrillators, or businesses should have defibrillators, and the rule of thumb is to have them within 3 minutes to and from any point in their campus or location. So what happens many times is somebody will be very proud and say, yes, we have a defibrillator, it's up with the receptionist, and right up there in the front, and I say, well, we're in a 1.2 million square foot warehouse. How long is it going to take me to get to that receptionist, tell her what's going on, and get back here with that defibrillator? You know, it's great that you have it for anybody in that end of the building, but it doesn't help too many people back here. So what I said was less than 10% have defibrillators or enough defibrillators.
Wow.
You know, that's another thing that's often overlooked.
Okay.
For state kits, you see, defibrillators, you don't.
Okay. So, water, defibrillators, battery power, hand cranked power generators. Anything else?
Some sort of light source. A cell phone charger.
A light source. Okay.
And then the last thing, and this could be more individual than group, but. An individual who is on any type of medications or permit use prescriptions should make sure that they have those available personally.
Right. That is so true. These are good things. I mean, I was hoping for some everybody talks about first aid kits, but you're talking about things that in a disaster, if you don't take these medicines and you're chronically ill, it can be a disaster. I mean, then you're in for a personal disaster.
Let's look at it this way. A disaster, an area is affected by some sort of a disaster. That disaster just doesn't affect that company X, okay? It affects the pharmacies. It affects the grocery stores. It affects the people that fill the ATMs. It affects all those support services that you take, we take for granted because we're so lucky that they're right there. But all those people are also affected by the same emergency that you are. All
right.
Those services disappear. And that's why everybody says, well, why would I need so much water? Or why would I need 3 days' worth of food? Or why would I? Well, okay, so the man that delivers the food or the fellow that runs the grocery store, that disaster is going to affect him too. And perhaps he can't get to work, or perhaps he's unable to get to work, or whatever it is. All of a sudden,
well, perhaps he doesn't have the electricity to turn on the stuff to even ring you up, right?
There you go. There you go. It just it kind of flows downhill, and then everybody goes in and they buy up everything that's in the store. Well, I need milk. Well, unfortunately, the truck that delivers the milk can't get there,
mm-hmm.
So there is no milk. So anyway, those are just silly examples, but they're the type of things that when I say use your imagination and sit down and think through what it is you want to accomplish and what it is that you need, what are your specific requirements, that's how you develop your own safety kit or emergency kit.
Yeah, that's, you know, Bob, this has been really interesting. I can't believe we only have 4 minutes left. So what I want to do is, as we wrap things up, what should anybody who's listening to this be doing for the next, say, 30 days, 90 days, and a year to accomplish this? I already know that they need to get off the phone and they need to sit down and imagine what types of disasters could happen. That's the first thing that they need to do. And then they need to actually – you know, do they keep this in, like, a box? Like, do they keep it in a rolling suitcase? Like, what's the best – and I know you sell these things at Staples too, but what's the best way to keep? I mean, and I know you're going to say it depends, but you know, give us something that would work.
I won't say that. The best thing to do is to pack it in something that's easily transportable.
Okay.
My favorite is a backpack.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I carry a backpack, an emergency backpack, in my car all the time.
Okay.
It allows you to carry it with you. It allows you to carry it with you and keep your hands free. Other places, we do a lot of emergency preparedness work and classroom lockdown kits for schools. Many times they'll have those in duffel bags, maybe with a shoulder strap. Or if they're larger items or more items, then you do put it in one of those duffel bags with wheels and an extendable handle so you don't have to worry about it being too heavy to transport too far.
Perfect.
Remember, remember, anything you put in that kit, you know, you can't make it that heavy that you can't move it or
mm-hmm.
it's not really doing you any good. So
right.
Depending on the size of your kit, I always think a backpack, and it certainly doesn't have to be a big backpack, but any type mm-hmm. of backpack that you can carry the products with you, keep your hands free and mobile, is very effective.
Okay. So, you know, what final words of wisdom do you want to pass on to everybody who's listening?
I said it before, and I'll say it again because I think it's the most succinct words of wisdom I can give you. No matter how difficult you think it is and what a pain in the neck it may be, it's far easier to prepare for that emergency, that disaster, that unforeseen event than it is to have to explain to people or your family or your employees after the fact why you didn't. It's far easier to do it up front than it is to explain why you didn't.
And as Oprah would say, tweet, tweet. I'm going to tweet that out after we get off of here. So where can our listeners go to? Give us those websites one more time. I know, you know, that have over a million SKUs. That's crazy, a million items. It's staples.com, and what's the other ones if you have a contract with Staples?
Staplesadvantage.com. Staplesadvantage.com. It's the one for anybody that's already has a contract in place with Staples.
Okay. You know what, Bob? Thank you so much for dropping in. I know you're a busy guy. And, you know, being the national salesperson for Staples can't be, that's like not a cakewalk. But you're a wealth of knowledge. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us. I look forward to listening to this myself again. Okay? So, hey, have a good time in San Diego next week.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
All right. All right, everybody. Bye-bye.